you. Recorded live.
Hallelujah. Amen. So tonight we are beginning our teaching on the second part of the Apostolic Church. And tonight we're going to be talking about, we're starting in chapter 8, talking about that the Apostolic Church adjudicates, or it is an adjudicating ministry. To, first of all, if we're going to understand what it means to adjudicate, we need to, you know, proceed with the understanding of a definition of that word. And to adjudicate means to sit in judgment, to pronounce, or to decree by judicial sentence, to hear and settle disputes, to act as judge, okay, to put on trial and hear as a judge, to bring to an end, or to settle conclusively, right? I'll read that again to you. The definition means to sit in judgment, to pronounce or decree by judicial sentence, to hear and settle disputes, to act as a judge, to put on trial or hear as a judge, to bring to an end, or to settle conclusively. This is a ministry that is much needed for us in the body of Christ today. We know that that is what the disciples did. That's what the apostles did in the book of Acts. They sat, amen, to bring decrees and to settle disputes among the brethren. For them, they would act as God's judges, even as we had in the Old Testament, judges, that would settle disputes among the people and that would make decrees for the churches on how they were to operate or how, you know, the church is supposed to function the way that Christ had intended for it to function. And this is a ministry that is necessary for the body of Christ even for today. All right, I want to read to you from the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 11. All right, and we're going to begin at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 11, and we're looking at verse 1. And it says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And this is why it's necessary that we have a ministry that is adjudicating, because we have things that are taking place in the body of Christ, and just as they are going on in the world. And we know that God is a God of justice. He is a God who does not love injustice. God is a God who hates injustice. And so therefore, there is a ministry that has got to come to the people who have been oppressed, who have been downtrodden, who have been persecuted, who have been mistreated. Amen. There's a ministry that has got to come to the people that have been suffering under the attack of the enemy and under the attack or the weight of this world, to bring justice to them in a manner of speaking, just to bring them a fairness, something that they have not had in their life before. Okay, and one of the things that we have to understand is being in that apostolic church, we will understand that righteous judgment is going to be that mark that rules over the apostolic church. It's not going to be a church where there's favoritism. It's not going to be a church. It's not a church where there are big eyes and little U's. It's not a church where it's about us four and no more. Amen. It is a church, amen, where we are understanding, standing, amen, that we are here together to be fellow laborers working together in the kingdom, amen, for such a time as this, to complete a work for the Lord and to be sure, amen, that we do it, amen, and be able to acknowledge every gift and charge every gift and to amen, activate every gift and call them to work in the ministry the way that God has ordained for them to do. Okay, apostolic leaders will have the heart of the Father to understand in all humility that they are responsible before God for those in their sphere of care. And for too long, we have seen church where the pastor is way up on the pedestal, or the leader of the ministry is way up on the pedestal, and the people are treated as second-class citizens, as if they are there just to serve that pastor, or they are there just so that they can give offerings for that pastor or to take care of that pastor in a manner of speaking. But what we have got to understand is that God has charged the spiritual mothers and the spiritual fathers to be the ones who look out for their spiritual children. And the Bible tells us that the fathers lay up for the children and not the children for the fathers. That's backwards. It's backwards for us to lean on the saints of God in such a way that, you know what I'm saying, we are expecting them as leaders, we're expecting them to take care of us, and we're not taking care of them. That is an unjust balance. That is, amen, leaning too much, you know, toward the leadership, and that's a whole other message when we start talking about separating people by classes in the church. And Jesus talked about that when he was giving the word to John in the book of Revelation, when he was talking about those that had the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, okay, where they begin to make a difference between the clergy and the congregation. All right, and so we have got to lose that mentality, because if we are going to walk in this realm of the apostolic, we've got to understand that the only difference between those who are leading in the church and those who are following in the church is the timing of the Lord. That is the only difference. Amen. And we have been commissioned, and God has sent people our way for us to pour into them, to charge them, and to get them ready to do the will of God, but not for us to put our feet upon them, not for us to mistreat them and to be unjust, amen, and to rule them and to control them. That is not the will of God. And so because we have been missing this mark for so long, and because we have grown accustomed to the religious way of doing things, we have allowed ourselves to miss what God has ordained for the body of Christ. All right? So we got to understand that the leaders are no better than those who are following. The only difference is the timing of the Lord. God, in his time, is going to raise up those that are following to be leaders, and those of us who are leading, amen, the Lord is going to, amen, allow us to fulfill our call and take us on the glory in Jesus' name. And so what we got to understand is that just as we have to wait on our time to come, and, you know, it's nothing like being able to look back over the time that you have spent being nurtured in the Lord and remembering all the things that you have had to go through in order for the Lord to build you up. And those have got to be the things that keep us humble. That has got to be the thing that keeps our focus on the Lord, that we not get caught up in a title and whoever we might think that we are. Amen. Because the Bible tells us that if any man think he stand, take heed to himself, lest he fall. Praise the Lord. So we got to make sure that we are understanding God is not, he is not pleased with a false or an unjust weight. Okay? A false balance. Not keeping the proper balance in the house. And this scripture, yes, is really, you know, it's talking about trade. It's talking about how we do things when we're executing business, when we're charging more for something than what it's really worth, and those kinds of things. But at the same time, it applies to the body of Christ. At the same time, it applies to us as we labor in the kingdom. Because there are times, even when we want to talk about doing ministry and doing materials and all that stuff. Now, there's a little sidebar right here, but since I opened this can of worms, I'm going to go ahead and finish it. You know, that we have ministry materials and things of that nature, and we charge astronomical fees for somebody to pay for something that they can get elsewhere way cheaper than if they were to get it from us. You know what I'm saying? Where we are really using an unjust balance, amen, a false balance and an unjust weight in order to be able to get what we want or to try to profit. So we got to be so mindful of this position that God has placed us in, okay? All right. They will have divine discernment, meaning those apostolic leaders will have divine discernment to judge. They will not judge for the sake of harm, but to bring correction, coupled with mercy, to restore and to bring maturity. We need a ministry that's going to bring maturity. Correction brings maturity. And I know that correction is a hard thing for a lot of people to receive, But that is the thing that is going to bring maturity. Is, you know what I'm saying? Why should we just go ahead and just go on and do something wrong just because that's the way mama did it, or that's the way grandmama did it, or that's the way our pastors did it? Just because they did it that way does not always mean that it's right. We got to go to God, amen, and look at his pattern that he has set for us, and we have got to be determined that we're going to stick to the archetype, stick to the pattern that he has set for us, amen, through his word. Not wavering to the left or to the right, but sticking to the pattern that God has set for us, because we understand that if we do it and we follow through with the things that the Lord has called us to do, and we know that it's difficult sometimes to bring correction to some people. You hate to have to go to them and tell them certain things. But the reality is that it is necessary so that we can restore them to right fellowship and then also to bring them to a place of maturity. Okay? The apostles with pure hearts were not fearful of bringing righteous judgment. And let's look at that in John chapter 7, verse 24. John chapter 7, verse 24. The apostles were not afraid of bringing righteous judgment. And that's what we have to walk without fear. Because sometimes it's hard to, you know, to talk to certain people. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we fear having to say certain things. Well, why do you want me to say that? You sure you want me to say that, Jesus? You know, so we have got to get to the place where we don't walk in fear. All right? So John chapter 7, verse 24 says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. We have got to be able to look beyond what we see in the flesh and look into the realm of the spirit and see what God sees. Hear what God hears and know what God knows. And the only way that that is going to happen is through our fellowship with him, through our time of prayer, through our time of meditating on the word, amen, and hearing from God, amen, and even through having relationship with people. As you have relationship with people, you begin to learn better whether your first conception of them was accurate or if it was a misconception. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we have to begin to do. Don't be afraid of relationship. We can't walk in the fullness of the ministry that Christ has given to us except we first embrace relationship. It's important that we walk in relationship. It's important that, you know, that we understand that the only way we're going to get what God has for us is through right apostolic relationship. It's important that we begin to embrace that and not be fearful of unveiling ourselves and being transparent before others, that we not become, you know what I'm saying, to the place that we feel that, well, I don't want anybody to see this part of me because if I show this, then, you know, they're not going to want to, you know, they're going to treat me differently or they're going to not understand me. And, you know, and I have to admit there was a time even in my own life where I felt like, you know what, I'm gonna be stuffy and I don't want to talk much and I don't want to, you know, laugh or whatever because that's my personality. And then as the Lord begins to deliver me, I begin to see, wait a minute, he's not going to use me outside of my personality. He's going to anoint what he has given me. Now, yes, we got to bring things in line and walk in the spirit, amen, and let the Lord begin to, to taper things in our life and to bring order to areas of our life. But we got to get past this religious stuff. We have got to get past this place of us just looking, amen, looking nice. Amen. And I was going to share this with the leaders in leadership training on Tuesday that it's okay for us to know theory, but God wants us to get beyond theory. Let's get this thing in our heart and let's walk it out. Let's walk this thing out in earth. That's what apostolic ministry is about. It's about walking out, putting hands and feet, amen, to this thing that we call ministry. It's about being able to know, amen, that it's more than just what I'm reading in the book. It's what I'm living every single day. That's what this is about. Okay? So we have to not look at things at, you know, through the outward appearance. Don't let what you see fool you. Sometimes you'll see folks, they come into the church and they look like, Lord, they look like the biggest demons on wheels. But you got to take the time for, number one, not judge appearances like we just saw, amen, in John 7:24. Don't look according to the outward appearance. Let the Lord begin to speak to you so that when you look at them, amen, you can hear the voice of the Lord begin to speak to you and tell you what the issue really is. Amen. Because what we see on the outside is not always, you know what I'm saying, the real deal. It's usually a product of what's really going on underneath the surface, but you got to take the time to get beneath the surface. And that's what apostolic ministry does. It's not afraid of relationship. You know what I'm saying? Two people of God who are looking to walk in the realm of the apostolic are not thinking about, well, I can't hang out with this one because I got to worry about what other people think. No, it is about really reproducing this ministry that Christ has left and imparting it into the lives of other people so that we can see God, amen, do his wonders in the earth. Hallelujah. All right, so God's order was being established in the early church through the leadership and the authority of the apostles. And so it shall be again as the apostles and the prophets come forth for the establishment of God's government in the church and in the earth. And some things, you know, I don't want to just harp on it over and over and over again and say the same things over and over again and be redundant. But the fact of the matter is we have got to get back to God's government. Okay, we have walked under this misunderstanding, amen, and this erroneous teaching about, you know, how the church really was supposed to be set up. And because of this, we have been missing the moves of God, amen. And we have been missing how God really desires to move among his people because we try to dress up like the Catholic bishops and we want to be like the Catholic bishops and we want to carry the shepherd's staff and we want to do all this crazy stuff and pay $5,000 for a bishop's ring and we want to do all this stuff. And this God is not even in all of that stuff. We're wasting our time. We're wasting our money. We're wasting our energy. And guess what? We got the theory, but we don't have the spirit of the thing. And that is the whole idea. This apostolic brings back the spirit of that ministry. It brings back the power of the ministry. It brings back the, amen, the anointing of that ministry. It's not just about the theory. Amen. It brings us back to the place where we are demonstrating. And that's one of our themes. And, you know, we say it over and over again. That even for our church, you know, we say we are Short Order of Deliverance Apostolic Church, and we're apostolic by demonstration, not by denomination. Amen. Some people are caught up in denominational issues, but come on, where is the demonstration? That is the place where we got to get back to. We have got to crave a move of God. We've got to desire the true things of God. We've got to hunger and thirst after righteousness for his namesake so that he can come and fill us. He's not filling us because we're not hungry. Amen. And then there are things that we might be hungry for, but it's not necessarily the things of God. All right. So according to the scripture, apostles judge several things. Number one, they judge men's motives, okay? You'll see that in Acts chapter 8 with Simon. They judge men's actions, Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. And this is the thing, I'm trying to tell you now, it's not going to be welcome. And even now, it's not welcome. When you got to call people on the carpet and say, hey, you know, I'm looking at what you're doing and it's just not right. God is not in what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, let's check your motives. Why are you doing what you're doing? Is this really what God told you to do? Or are you doing it because you want somebody to give you applause? You know what I'm saying? And so when you begin to question motives and you begin to question actions, sometimes people may get offended. But like I said to you, you know, what I was saying earlier, that is, we have got to be so mindful of this relationship, so mindful of the fact that this ministry is calling for spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers to stand up and be responsible for raising true spiritual children. Spiritual children who are not warped in their thinking, spiritual children, amen, who don't have dysfunctions and deformities, Amen. Because we've been walking around and doing our ministries without dysfunction and saying it is God when it's really us. We all jacked up. We tore up from the floor up and we think we anointed. You know what I'm saying? And so we have got to get to the place where we really, really with all our heart desire for somebody to follow us and to mother us and to nurture us. I'm not talking about petting your flesh and nurturing you to the point where you got to have a pacifier put in your mouth and a bib and all the rest of that stuff and changing diapers. No, we're not talking about that. But we're talking about activating and charging and prophesying over you and decreeing. And that's what we say about this ministry. This apostolic ministry is adjudicated. It brings declaration. It decrees a thing for the life of the people that are following them, that voice of the Lord, that sound in the spirit. It is a ministry that it pronounces or decrees judicial sentences. In other words, this ministry, amen, comes with authority. Okay? It comes with authority because the apostles and the prophets are walking in the realm of the anointing and the authority that comes with that mantle that's upon their life. And because they're walking under that mantle, because they're understanding what their role is and what their function is, when they begin to walk in the things of God, amen, and they might meet up with a little bit of, a little bit of resistance here and there, but it does not change the mandate that's upon their life. Okay, you walking in that authority, so you have the right, amen, to bring judicial sentence, amen, to cause something, to decree something and cause it to come to pass, because you're walking in God's government authority that He has given you from heaven, amen, for you to, amen, discharge here in earth, and you're not worried about what other people are saying. You understand that you are an ambassador. You understand that God has sent you here and set you wherever you are so that you can accomplish the will of God in the earth. We need the ministry of adjudication. We need it in the body of Christ. We need people that are willing to stand up and say, well, thus saith the Lord, and to decree a thing, amen, and watch that thing come to pass, amen, and that those words that are spoken will fall to the ground, but that they will, amen, accomplish what they have been sent out to do, and that people's lives will be changed and transformed, amen, as a result of those decrees that have been made. This is the ministry that we need in the church today. This is the ministry that we need for the Lord to restore back to His church. If we're going to be the church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing, if we're going to be the bride, amen, hallelujah, that is dressed in our proper garments, then we need for somebody to help equip us, help to train us up, help to, amen, show us what we need, show us, amen, where our garments are not buttoned up right, or where we're missing, you know what I'm saying, proper foundation garments and things of that nature. We need to make sure that we are embracing, amen, and accepting, amen, and encouraging this apostolic ministry. That is the will of God. That is the will of God. All right? Okay. Also, the apostles judge doctrine. Amen. They sat and looked to see if what they were, what other people were teaching and talking about, whether or not it was scriptural. Okay, and nowadays we are missing that in such a huge way, and we hear all kind of crazy doctrines coming across TVN and Word Network. We thank God for those networks because everybody on there is not wrong. There's some people that's preaching the truth, and we thank God for that. But for those that's out here doing kooky, crazy stuff, and nobody is getting up and using some of their airtime to cry against that foolishness, we need the ministry of adjudication. We need somebody to stand up and dispute, bring to an end the dispute over the doctrines that are not right. Amen. That is apostolic ministry. All right? The apostles also judged sin. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. We need to begin, amen, to stop making excuses. We know that God is love. Thank you, Jesus. We're so happy that God is love. But at the same time, Lord Jesus, help us to understand that we need to get right. Amen. We need to stop making excuses. Amen. Especially us leaders. Stop making excuses for why we're not doing the things that we need to be doing. Amen. And the apostles also judged church practice, the things that took place in the churches, the things, amen, that they did in church. They judged those things. All right, now going on to chapter 9. The apostolic church is accountable and affiliated, okay? To be accountable is that which can be explained, something that is responsible, okay? It's explicable. You can explain it, okay? There's an undeniable characteristic of the apostolic church, and that is accountability to one another. Isn't it something that you have ministries and they talk about, oh, we want to be accountable. You know, we believe in accountability. And they got all these people being accountable to them, but who are they accountable to? Who's pastoring the pastor? Amen. Who's the apostle over the apostle? Hallelujah. Amen. Because we cannot think that we are law unto ourselves. And I always harp on it, and I love something that one of my history teachers said, you know, some time ago, and he was quoting from Lord Acton, and he says, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's something that we have got to understand. When we are in authority, there is a temptation for corruption in and of itself because of that particular level of authority. Because of that position, there is a temptation that comes with that position. Amen. And once you get into that position and you face those temptations and you don't pass the test, and you find yourself in the place where you empower by yourself, absolute power corrupts absolutely. What does that mean? It means that when you're not subject to anybody else, you can believe that without a shadow of a doubt, there's going to be corruption behind your behavior, behind the things that, you know, that you feel motivated to do, because we have got to be accountable to somebody else. There must be checks and balances in place. We need those checks and balances. We need those boundaries. They're there for our safety. Why are we kicking against the boundaries that God has ordained for us to keep us in holiness? And so we got to be willing, amen, to be accountable. Be willing to explain why we do certain things. Be willing to be responsible for our actions. Hallelujah. Be willing to give an answer for everything that we do. Amen. Not because we're still children and we're not mature, but because it's a part of us maintaining, amen, our righteous standing, being able to be, amen, yourself with another leader that can see where you are and is not enamored with your person and can tell you, amen, A, B, C, and D, and still love you. That is necessary in the body of Christ. We need that. Amen. We ought not to despise that, okay? We talked about that. That's a mark of the apostolic church that is going to bring correction, okay? I'm not talking about dogging people and using the podium, you know, using the pulpit as a means of tearing people down, but I'm talking about godly correction, correction that is coupled with love and mercy. Amen. Correction, amen, that comes, praise God, so that it helps us. It's corrective, not punitive. There's a difference between the two, okay? We're talking about corrective measures, not punitive measures that come to get us back on track, help us to see the error of our ways, where the Lord says, come, let us reason together. When we reason with the Lord, he shows us what we have said or done wrong, and we get it in line because we love him, okay? All right, so there's accountability, one to the other, okay? Where the love of Christ reigns, there's no shame amongst brethren, no intimidation. Say it again, no intimidation. One more time, no intimidation and no fear of rejection, but a closeness and a confidence based on the word of God. And I'm going to talk about this fear of rejection because of the fact that, you know, before we can even deal with how we interact with each other at church, you know what I'm saying? We got to deal with how we interact in life in general. And a lot of times because of how we grew up and how we were corrected or punished, because growing up, a lot of us receive punitive responses from our parents and not corrective responses from our parents. Amen. I was one. Glory to God. And I had to learn the difference between punishment and correction. And so when we come to church, we come to church with this mentality that has been birthed in us, and not just birthed, but nurtured in us as we have grown into adults, okay? And as we've grown into adults, this mentality has attached itself to us that when somebody tells us something that is correcting us, that they are rejecting us. And so we have not been able to separate when we are being corrected from when we're being rejected. And I say this being a pastor and dealing with people, that sometimes you have to explain this has nothing to do with any other situation. This is all about what we're dealing with right now. Okay? And sometimes because of that rejection, that fear of rejection that has already come with that individual when they came to the ministry, okay? When they get there and you're trying to deal with them, or even, you know, some of us, because of things that has already been attached to us, okay, and God is trying to pull those things up by the root, up out of our spirit, man, okay? And when someone comes to try to deal with us about those things, we immediately crawl back into a corner because we feel as though we have been rejected. When in essence, it's not rejection. So we have got to get correction and rejection out of the same basket. And we've got to understand that correction does not mean rejection. They are two separate things. And so even in us dealing with people, it's good to understand that sometimes people's mentalities, not on purpose, not because they're slow. You know, some people are slow, but we know that that's not always the issue. But sometimes it's because of people coming out of abusive situations, people coming out of situations where they were verbally abused, physically abused, or different things of that nature. So when you come to show them real love, okay, when you come to show them real love, they don't know how to receive it, okay? Another example of that is, we have got to learn that when we're dealing with people, you cannot take the mentality that you've got to break them in order for you to be able to impart into them. Okay? You do better. You can't break a horse's will. You could try, but it's not going to work. You do better to train the horse than you do to break the horse. Because if you break the horse, he's not going to function properly. Okay? That horse is going to lay down when you're trying to tell him to stand up. He's going to stand still when you're trying to get him to gallop and run. And likewise, with the souls of people, we got to learn, amen, how to function in this apostolic church life, amen, and understand, amen, people skills, being able to interact with each other. This is what relationship is supposed to teach us, amen, and we're going to learn this, amen, as we're being positioned for you know, realms of authority in ministry. But we got to understand how to be able to interact with other people. So you got to understand sometimes it's not always what you see on the surface. The presentation you see is just the outward working of what has been going on underneath the surface for all this time. So you can't go and think you're going to have to break somebody in order to get them to do what you want to do. No, no, no. Training. When we have children and we're trying to get them to learn how to use the bathroom, we don't kill them. We potty train them, okay? And if you break their will, it's not going to help you any. This is where we got to leave that old wineskin, amen, and begin to embrace the new wine and the new wineskin. This is righteous judgment. This is what we have got to bring back to the body of Christ. And if we're walking in accountability, when we're dealing with people, okay, and somebody sees how we're dealing with them, if we're truly accountable to somebody else, when they see us and the way that we're handling situations, okay? Then they can come to us and say, listen, I can show you a better way. I saw you trying to do X, Y, and Z, but I might be able to help you out with this, you know, to do better so that you can accomplish what your task is. What's wrong with us being able to go to somebody for some help? This is apostolic ministry. This is what we have to learn how to do. Okay? All right. When the love of God reigns, there is no shame amongst the brethren, no intimidation. We're not intimidated by each other. We're not intimidating one another. Amen. And no fear of rejection, but a closeness and confidence based on the word of God. Where leaders have separated themselves to their own denominations and organizations will begin to hunger for relationships of like heart as they embrace the apostolic spirit. And I mean, even for us, we are seeing that. We are seeing people leave denominational churches because they see that religion is not working. They see that this separatist spirit, this is not, look, we did this a long time. I did it for 50 years. Enough is enough. I want something fresh from God. I want something new from God. I want to know, amen, praise God, that there's more than what I've been seeing in the church. And people are hungry. People are hungry. What are we doing to make sure that God, when he has poured into us, amen, quenches the thirst of others that we come in contact with? What are we doing to make sure that we can give them spiritual drink and spiritual meat to take them on to where God is calling them to? That's our responsibility. Amen. A divine united by God will be established in local churches and leaders around the world, networking for the fulfilling of God's purpose. That's all this is about. This is about fulfilling, getting it together, meeting with my brothers and sisters. We pouring into each other. We are networking together so that we can fulfill God's purpose in the earth. That's what we want. That's what we want. No more wasting time. No more getting caught up in religious foolishness. No more, amen, walking in our flesh on parade. Amen. But it's about really just getting it together so that God gets the glory out of our life so that we can do all that he's called us to do. Hallelujah. All right? Okay, and so when we talk about affiliation, we're basically just saying associated with one another. It's not a separate thing. It's not your church and my church. Amen. It's not the Baptist church and then the Presbyterian church and then the Methodist church and then the non-denominational church. Amen. We're not even looking at all of that. We just want to be where the Spirit of God is. Amen. We want to associate with one another. We want to be in the midst of others who are loving God. Amen. And who are walking in the presence of God and experiencing, praise God, the latter rain. Amen. And experiencing the power of God. Amen. In their midst. Those are people we want to associate with. Hallelujah. We don't want to be separated. We want to flow in the things of God. Okay. Accountability entails many aspects, such as one's actions, being accountable for your actions, being accountable for your obedience or your disobedience, okay? And being accountable to your financial commitment, amen. And really, you know how they say in the world, put your money where your mouth is. You know what I'm saying? And the Bible tells us the same thing. Where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. Where our heart is, that's where our treasure is. It's vice versa, same thing. Amen. So we got to understand, you know what I'm saying? We got to pour out of ourselves. And I'm not just talking about my money, but that's one of the points. Because you know what? We don't spend our money on what we don't believe in. Woo! Hallelujah. We don't give our money to something that we don't believe in. We don't buy a product that we feel is shabby and flim-flam. Amen. We put our money behind something that we believe in. So being committed, you know what I'm saying? Being committed. You see, you want to do apostolic ministry. God has given you a vision. You're not even looking at the price tag. Only thing that you're concerned about is, Lord, how can I get this thing to move from where it is to where you want it to be? That's it. Hallelujah. All right, chapter 10. The apostolic church is accurate, alert, and awake. And I'm so glad that it says awake and alert, because we have been a sleeping church. We have been a church, amen, that is just asleep, taking a nap. We have periods, amen, where we wake up, We yawn, we stretch, make a little bit of noise, and then we lay back down again and go back to sleep. God help us. Okay? The apostolic church is one that has risen out of complacency and will be, number one, will be militant, will be alert, will be discerning of the time, undistracted by surroundings and circumstances. They will be prayer warriors. They will demonstrate God's power in the natural realm. And here's the thing. You know what I'm saying? We have got to be willing, you know, to do whatever it takes to make sure that we hear the voice of God. Turn our TVs off. Turn our plates down. Amen. Sit down and be still so we can hear the Lord speak to us. Whatever it takes, we have got to hear the voice of the Lord. All right? Precision and laser-like accuracy will be exemplified in the apostles and prophets, and no deviation of doctrine will be permitted, but will be exposed as error and judged accordingly. Can we please get back to some truth in the house, in Jesus' name? Can we please, amen, embrace the truth, love the truth, amen, speak the truth, amen, and walk in that truth? Can we please, amen, connect with some people that love the truth? Amen. And I know that there's some people who love God's word and love God's truth. Everybody ain't backsliding. Everybody's not turning their back on God. God has a remnant of folks who are still living holy, who still believe his word, who are still standing on his word, who are still believing to manifest his word in this earth. And we need to, amen, associate with those, amen, that are doing just that. All right, chapter 11, arbitrating and affectionate. The apostolic church will live based on kingdom principles, God's system of operating. They have no desire to function according to the system of the world, but will look to the wisdom of godly counsel. Amen, amen. And that's back to that, and really that's a little bit of the accountability. Looking for somebody, amen, who can not just be my amen corner, not just, you know, agree with me with everything. Just because somebody disagrees with me does not mean they're my enemy. Just because somebody doesn't see things the same way that I see them doesn't mean that they don't love me. It doesn't mean that they don't like me. Amen. We got to learn, amen, that sometimes somebody's saying, no, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, that might be God, but it just might not be God's timing. You know, having people who are like that in our life that are willing to tell us the truth, we need that. Amen. We need that wisdom. We need people that's willing to tell us the truth no matter the cost, risking our relationship because they love us enough to tell us the truth. Hallelujah. Okay? So when we start talking about arbitrating, okay, that means they will, the same thing as, it's the same as being adjudicating, okay, except that in this particular case, when you start talking about arbitrating, there's an examination of the facts, okay, and there's a decision made over an issue. Hallelujah. This is where they settle personal differences between others, not just church-wide, but this will be a place where strife will be diffused and put out of the church. Amen. Word to God, we can have a ministry where people get along, my God, where people love each other. Amen. And there's not so much of a bickering, you know, and arguing going on and everybody trying to get the mic in their hand. Amen. This is that ministry, being able to sit at the table, amen, and be able to arbitrate or settle personal disputes and differences among others. This is, we need this in the church. We need this in the church. Apostles are arising whom God will use in wisdom and discernment to reconcile divisions in the church and to penetrate into the secular realm. Now, I believe that there are some that God has called them to amen, to work in the marketplace, amen, and to be pioneers in the marketplace, to be forerunners, amen, and to start great things in the marketplace. Now, we know everybody is not called to do that, but I believe that even as God has forerunners in the spirit in the church, that there are forerunners in the business place. I believe that there will be people that God will give them, like the scripture says, give them witty invention, you know, and cause them to be able to tap a market like Microsoft. Amen. If all that stuff is not just for the ungodly and for sinners to just get rich, amen. Praise God. I believe that if we get into our prayer closets and we pray for God to give us some innovation, amen, and to show us which way we ought to go, he will speak to us. But we got to go to him and ask him. Amen. Find out what our purpose is. Is our purpose in the business world, in the secular, amen, among those that are ungodly? They need a godly example. Now, I ain't talking about, amen, drinking and carrying on, acting fool. I'm talking about, amen, really being a light, being a beacon, being an example of holiness and righteousness in the workplace. Hallelujah. Okay, they will be called on for counsel, for direction, and instruction. God will do it. God will use godly people, amen, to bring instruction, direction, and counsel to those who are in the business sector, amen, and they will be able to prosper. Look at Joseph. Joseph was a man of God. And the king, amen, Pharaoh needed somebody to tell him what his dream was and tell him what it was about. Amen. And because of that, God elevated him and gave him wisdom, gave him counsel. Amen. He was able to counsel Pharaoh, give him direction to avert, amen, sheer disaster and a famine. Hallelujah. And now, if he can do that without the Holy Ghost, what can God do with us with the Holy Ghost? We got the Spirit of God on the inside of us, and I do believe, amen, that we can do that and much more if we will give ourselves to God and be willing to just let the Lord have his way in us. Understanding that, amen, we have not been setting here for ourselves just to accumulate things, amen, to have a nice car, nice house, nice whatever, amen, but it's really about just really fulfilling the will of God in the earth. And if he sends us out into to the second world to do a job, amen, let us be the best at what we do. Let us honor God with all that we have in us and let them see Jesus in us. That is still an apostolic ministry. Hallelujah. The peace of Jesus will be sought in all situations and pursued. And then you can read Psalms 34:14. Hallelujah. All right. The apostle bears the father's heart for his children and therefore will release a genuine affection. Apostolic churches will have a family atmosphere with concern and care one for another. All right. And I want to say something about this. Where it says that the apostle bears the father's heart for his children and therefore will release genuine affection. And one of the things that, and I'll use again, an example of how my own thinking was warped as a child growing up. Because I did not have my father in the home, and I've said this to some people before, but I'll say it again. Because I didn't have my father growing up in the home, and the relationship was lacking, okay, when I grew up, my mentality about a father, the picture that I had of a father was warped. And what we have to understand is that fathers, parents have been placed in the earth as examples to us of our Heavenly Father. Okay? And when this is where we first learn what a father is here on earth. Okay? So that is the symbolism, you know, that's a symbol of what is in the heavenlies. What we see here in the earth is a symbol of what is, as the scripture calls it, similitude, what is in the heavens, okay? And so because my mentality was warped about where the Father was, when I came to God, and even how I was treated as a child growing up, knowing the difference between something that I would be punished for versus corrected for, all of that gave me a certain mentality. So when I come to God, I'm thinking like I was brought up. You know what I'm saying? The same way that I was brought up, I'm thinking that, okay, if I do wrong, God's going to kill me because I was accustomed to punishment and not correction, okay? And so this is why it's important that we have true apostles who bear the Father's heart for his children, because then we can convey to the saints of God the true love of God, because we don't really know what is true until we run into it. And when we run into it, because it's strange and it's foreign, it's not what we're accustomed to, we shun it, we reject it, we push it away, we question it. Okay? And so we need true apostolic fathers and true apostolic mothers that will be willing to go out on a limb and really truly show what godly agape love is to other people. It's important that we be able to see that model, because some of us have missed it growing up. Okay? And so as adults in our minds, you know what I'm saying? The picture that we have in our mind of a father, we project that onto God. And so we feel like, well, that's the way God is. Without even realizing that he loves us unconditionally, that there's nothing that we could do to change his love for us. We could do whatever we want to do, he's still not going to fall out of love with us. Even in our sin, he loved us so much that he sent Christ to die for us before we even understood that we needed Christ. And so we have got to reconcile our thoughts with the Word of God, reconcile our thought patterns with the Word of God, reconcile what we know and what we believe with the truth. This is what we have to do. Amen. Hallelujah. All right? Let's just look at 1 Thessalonians 2 and 8. I want to read that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Okay? And it says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Oh, my God. Can you just hear the love? Can you just hear the love that Paul has for the Thessalonian church? That is the love of a true father. And we need that. And like I said, it's not about petting the flesh and stroking somebody and diapering them and all that stuff, but being able to run slap into some real godly love that changes us. Don't you know, and I heard this thought, amen, the other day, and I started to type it and send it through the group, and I didn't do it, and I should have. But the love of God changes us forever. The love of God has changed me forever. I know it has. Because there's things that have been transformed in my life just because I ran into real love. And this is what we have got to project from the church. This is the example. I'm going to read what Paul said again, because I feel the passion in his words. I hear his heart for the people of God as a godly apostolic father, wanting to see them get to the place that God has called them to be. Amen. Verse 8 says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. I want to give you my heart. That's what he's saying. I want to give you everything I've got, because we love you, because you are dear. That's a real apostle. Amen. Now, how many apostles do we know, really? Come on now. Amen. How many apostles do we really know that are affectionately desirous of us and are willing to impart into us not just what they get from the word, but what they know, their personal life experience, things that that mean something to them? Amen. This is what Paul is talking about. I want to share something intimate with you. I want to tell you stuff that I didn't tell nobody else, because I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I made, because I love you. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. To me, that's powerful. That is just beyond outstanding. Hallelujah. That he is saying, I want to give you a part of me. just so that you can see how much I love you. Because this is what God has charged me to do. Glory to God. Amen. And so we gotta look, amen, and see. We gotta look and see. This is the picture. This is the archetype. This is the pattern. Hallelujah, that God has left, that Jesus has left for us, for the church. And it means that we have got to come up so much in our thinking, come up so much, amen, in our faith, come up so much in our walk with God, till we are desirously, amen, affectionately desiring, amen, the people of God, so that we can be all and do all God said for us to do. And you know what? Sometimes it's not until people run into that kind of love that they're willing to live right. Some people don't even know what to live for. They don't have anything that they feel is worth living for. But when you run into that thing called love and it's real, I'm not talking about a man loving you, because, you know, we can fall in love and fall out of love. Amen. But I'm talking about real godly love. This real thing that God is putting into the hearts of his people. Amen. This is the kind of love that will persevere through all the mess in our life. That's what a real apostolic father does. Persevere. Seize your potential. Amen. Pass all of your foolishness. Glory to God. And God knows we got some foolishness with us. But a true apostolic leader, amen, is willing to look beyond. Okay, I see all this negativity. I see all this. But if we could just, you know, concentrate, amen, on this potential, amen, and get you to move beyond what you see in your issues and how you feel and whatever, amen, and just see what I see. Glory to God. Amen. That means we got to be willing to give of ourselves. But sometimes, amen, to touch somebody else's life, you can't just read to them a scripture. And Paul knew that. He said, I didn't want to just give you the word, because I could just give you the word and walk away. But I needed to give you something personal that was going to transform your life. Hallelujah. That's what we got to do. We got to give the people of God something that's real, that's going to transform our life. And that's the love of God. That's the love of God. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 12, the apostolic church is addicted, is alcoholic. I want to explain what this word alcoholic means. Absorbent, and adhesive. The apostolic spirit will cause believers to become addicted to the ministry of the saints. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. What do you mean the church is addicted? What? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 16, amen, we're going to look at verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. What are we addicted to? We're addicted to shopping, our favorite show. I got some favorite shows, too, now, so, you know, while I'm calling on, you know, your red wagon, I'm calling mine, too. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, whatever it is that we might be addicted to, you know, being around other people or whatever, but who is addicted to the ministry? Drawn to it. That it is something that you just gotta have. You just gotta do it. Addicted to the ministry of the saints. All right? The apostolic spirit will cause believers to become demonstrative of the love of Christ in serving, just love to serve. It embraces the liberty of the Spirit. The apostolic church has abandoned itself to the will of the Father. Do we know what it means to be abandoned? Do we know what it means to just abandon ourselves, let go, no holds barred, just falling, free falling into God, free falling into the things of God, free falling into the Spirit of God, into the will of God, whatever he wants us to do? The answer is yes. That's what we're talking about. The hunger for more of God and all that he has provided in Christ, and have relinquished all pride, not some pride, all pride, and dignity for a touch of the master's hand, desiring to be consumed by whatever the Spirit wants to do. You know, and Paul says this so good. He said, that I might apprehend Christ for that which you have apprehended me. That I might put the handcuffs on God because he handcuffed me. That I might arrest him for what he has arrested me for. I got to put my hands on Jesus the way he put his hands on me. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. We always, you know, the Lord is always touching us. But how often can we say we touch him back? That's what this is about. Okay? When we talk about the using that word alcoholic, okay, that basically speaks of the act of preserving truth. Okay? If you drop something into some alcohol, it's going to preserve it. Okay? It retains it. It keeps it. Okay? It's the preserving of the truth. Amen. Walking in that truth, preserving the truth, not walking away from the truth, not embracing something false. Amen. But preserving the truth of God's word. Okay? All right. Chapter 13, affirming and appreciative. Affirming and appreciative. And we're almost done. Praise the Lord. The apostolic prophetic spirit imparts a fatherly. Okay, I think I skipped something. Hold on. My apology. The apostolic church will radiate the love of Christ, and all who are touched will be drawn, wanting more and more, being refilled to overflowing. Amen. So I just wanted to read that part. All right. Chapter 13, affirming and appreciative. The apostolic prophetic spirit imparts a fatherly spirit to pastors and leaders, which will in turn bring forth a desire to recognize their people or the works of love in their service, validating them. And I want to use the word affirming. Validation and affirmation are one and the same. It's the same thing. And a lot of times you have people running around trying to, you know, do things and hoping that their pastor will acknowledge the work that they're doing because they just want somebody to affirm them. And it's nothing. Well, affirmation is a good thing. And what happens is because, you know what I'm saying, we have been without it. Because we have been without it, because we have been lacking affirmation, okay, we miss, you know what I'm saying, being able to do what God wants us to do with confidence. Okay, affirmation, affirming is part of the apostolic church. It's part of what leaders, good leaders do. Remember, we said we're not operating in intimidation. We're not walking in that spirit. Okay? So to affirm means that you state something or speak of it positively. You support it. You uphold it. Okay? You confirm it. You confirm it. You declare solemnly that it's true. Amen. Nobody wants to work in a ministry where people are not affirming them. Amen. And supporting them and holding them up. Amen. And validating them and saying, you know what? That was a blessing. We thank God for how you. That pushes them on. It spurs them on. Paul talks about that, how we're supposed to spur one another on to good works. How can we spur each other on to good works when we're jealous of each other? When we're fighting against each other. We don't want to affirm anybody. We don't want to say to them, amen, that they did a good job when they really did. And actually, the word touched you too. Hallelujah. Okay? So we want to declare positively that this thing that whoever is doing, doesn't matter who's doing it, that what they did was of truth. Amen. That's what a father and that's what a mother does. That's what a father and a mother does. They're not always just pointing out the things that you do wrong, but there should be some affirmation. Some affirmation. Affirmation brings confidence. Affirmation assists in spiritual growth because then you begin to feel, well, you know what? I can go a little bit further. Okay? We need to be, amen, everybody wants to be affirmed. Nobody wants to be rejected. Hallelujah. Amen. So that affirmation is a big part of the ministry. Okay, let's move on to the next thing. Okay? A true leader builds people up with respect and appreciation, giving honor where honor is due. Okay? That right there is enough said. Can we learn how to say thank you? Just because you're a pastor don't mean that you're supposed to have everything. Somebody's supposed to wait on you hand and foot. The devil is a liar. Just because you're a leader doesn't mean that somebody is supposed to do for you. Let's show some appreciation. We always have pastors' appreciation. Can we have saints' appreciation? Can we have a church appreciation? Can we appreciate the saints for all their hard work? Amen. Who, without them, we could not do anything in the church anyway. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Can we have saints' appreciation? Amen. Why don't you have a banquet for the saints and not just for the pastor? Glory to God. Let's do something like that. Everybody wants to be affirmed and appreciated. Amen. And I mean, I haven't seen that yet. I have not seen it yet. Where we had a saint, where the church did. When we say church, we have appreciation. It's pastor's appreciation. But the pastor's not doing it all by themselves. Amen. Who is the pastor preaching to? The saints. So let's appreciate the saints. It's their tithe and offering that's keeping the ministry going, helping pay the bills. You're not doing it by yourself. Amen. That's a whole nother teaching. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But we got to learn how to be appreciative. We got to learn how to affirm one another. Hallelujah. Okay? The apostolic church will be ascetic. Sacrifice and generosity will be the marks of the apostolic church. They will thrive in giving bountifully to the poor and needy, to the work of the ministry, and to the needs of the brethren. And when we say ascetic, that means asceticism is extreme self-denial. It's dedication. It's rigorous and strict adherence to, you know what I'm saying, to something that is a conviction. Okay, and so nobody has to tell somebody in true apostolic ministry that, hey, you need to go and do this or you need to go and do that. No, you don't have to say that because in this true ministry, amen, everybody wants to make sure that the needs of everybody are met. When you read in the book of Acts, you see that they had all things common. Now, we had a couple of crazy people like Ananias and Sapphira who wanted to try to play the game, you know, and try to hold back part of the money that they sold their land for. You know what I'm saying? We see some of that. Amen. But for the most part, the church, amen, the saints were willing to work together. And that's what we need to be able to do. Okay, so it is serious self-denial. They realize and understand that Father God is the source and all things belong to him and that he will bring increase on seed sown in love. A little sidebar on that, we need to understand that God is our source and everything else around us that he is allowed to pour into us is not our source. It is a resource. Amen. Our jobs are our resources. God is our source. If it weren't for him, we wouldn't have a resource. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever it is, those are our resources and God is, he is our source. And we need not forget that. Okay, and we need to understand what to do with our seed. Seed is meant for planting. You don't eat seed. Glory to God. You plant your seed. If you eat your seed, you have no harvest. So you have to learn how to separate what is seed and what is fruit. You eat fruit, you plant seed. Okay? Okay, that was my brief lesson on that. Hallelujah. Amen. Chapter 15, apprenticing. The apostolic church is apprenticing. Father-son relationships will be developed as the apostolic spirit is imparted into churches that receive the apostle, which will bring wisdom and practical skills for establishing eldership. And, you know, and I have to say, and I'm going to be a little transparent, I'm going to be very transparent right here. I'm going to tell you, and I had to take a trip a couple weeks ago to our church, amen, one of our churches, and you know, I know what God has been saying to me about that apostolic mantle upon my life, and I've been in denial. Amen. So pray for me as well. Glory to God. Amen. And after I went to the church and spent some extensive time with the leaders there, you know, the Lord just began to speak to me about what needed to be set in order and how we had to, you know, spend time with these leaders to help them to develop the leaders that were there at their church, okay? And I want to tell you something. That was really something for me because of the fact that I have been under ministries, other ministries, I've been under other churches, and this is no pun, you know, toward anyone, but I've been under churches, you know, where I, you know, there were apostles and said there was apostles or whatever, but I have never seen that. Where they actually took the time to sit down and train the leaders. Don't just come in and preach, but actually take the time. And so the Lord began to show me firsthand. I mean, I know what was supposed to be done. I already knew it, but I was really trying to avoid having to do it myself. Amen. So like I said, pray for me. Okay? And we got to learn how to give people practical skills. Okay? Don't think just because somebody has a degree in a certain area or because they are educated or because they're pastoring that they understand it all. Because there are some things that are just so practical, you know, and to be honest, because of the religious church, we have missed the practical things about ministry. Because of religious church, we have missed, amen, the common sense things. You know, and as I say, common sense is not common. I don't know why they call it common sense. They should call it uncommon sense because common sense is not common. Everybody does not think the same thing. Everyone does not know the same thing. Everybody does not, you know, even think, you know, that certain things should be done a certain way. There is a skill that needs to be exercised in the ministry that brings in practicality, that we show, amen, simplicity, you know, simple things that need to be handled, business matters, dealing with others, working through conflict, even learning how to raise up a church and raise up a prayerful people. That stuff is not, you don't get that by osmosis. You have to be taught that, how to raise up people, amen, so they understand their relationship with God. Just because a person is pastoring, that doesn't mean anything. I know that there are so many things that my husband and I stumbled over because we didn't have proper leadership. We had leadership, but it wasn't the right thing. Amen. And we had to acknowledge that, okay, something is wrong because somebody should have told us what to do right here. And because of those painful lessons that we had to learn, amen. Whoever God places with us, we're not going to just let them go all along and wrong. Amen. We're going to take the time to deal with practical skills, things that are necessary so that when their spiritual children grow up, they're not deformed, malnourished, walking with canes, riding in wheelchairs. Amen. And what happens to us is that if we are under leaders that are warped in their thinking, that are handicapped spiritually, that means that it is going to handicap our ministry. Amen, church. Amen. And it's hard, but it's truth. And so we have got to be willing to let go of these handicapped leaders. And it doesn't mean that they're bad people, but it means that we got to be prepared because especially if God has called you to do something other than just pastoring, you know what I'm saying? You got to be prepared for your ministry and you got to look at the right, remember we talked about archetype and pattern. So here it is, when we got a pattern, what is the pattern for? You cut out the rest of the dress based on the pattern that's given to you. And if we've been given the wrong pattern, the whole dress is messed up. Our outfit is jacked up. We think we look cute and we look a mess because the pattern was wrong. And so we got to be honest and true about the pattern. Amen. And I'm seeing where, you know, sometimes God will force us to walk under the anointing that he's placed upon our life because he does not want his people walking in deformity and dysfunction any longer. Somebody got to stand up and do what they've been called to do. Glory to God. Amen. So this is what's necessary. Practical skills. Wisdom. Establishing eldership. They have to be established. That's a planting ministry. That's a ministry that teaches, amen, and sets men and women on a firm foundation. If you establish, you can't be moved. You're built upon that thing. And if we, amen, are being cut out of the wrong pattern, then everything that we cut out from that plane on, everything that we give birth to is messed up. Amen. So let's look at ourselves. Let's see what we've been birthing. Is the things that we have been birthing, is something wrong with it? Do you see deformity? Do you see 50 heads and 90 toes, 3 arms, 4 legs? Something wrong with that baby. Amen. And even when some babies are born, amen, they fuse together. They call them, sometimes they have a baby that's born with another twin attached to them that didn't fully develop. It's called a parasitic twin. And what happens to that baby is that parasitic twin is sucking the life out of that baby that's whole. We got to get rid of the parasitic twin that we are, these twins we birthing out that ain't right. This stuff, amen, that we're birthing because we cut it out of the wrong pattern. Because we got cut out of the wrong pattern. Amen. Let's bring practical skills and the ministry of establishing back to the church. That's the will of God. Okay? So though we've not seen much of this in times past, mentoring will become valued. It is valuable to me right now. It's valuable. Pouring oneself into another as Elijah did Elisha. That is valuable. Amen. This right here, time to me is valuable. Spending this time and sharing the things of God, this is valuable. You know why? Because there have been times where, amen, I didn't even see myself doing this. But knowing that this was the will of God, amen, we begin to step out and do what he said do, even when I had opposition about it. Amen, because you got to understand what God has called you to do, you have got to do it. Okay? Apostolic leaders will eagerly impart to those that are under their care, making ready a people who are fully equipped, who is functioning, and who can fulfill their individual purpose and calling of God, with emphasis on building people, not ministries or programs. We've been so busy building the wrong things. We want to build it. We want a great ministry. But what about the people who you're building on top of? What about the people, amen, who are supporting the work that you are doing? Who's building them up? This is what we got to remember. God has called us to build the people. Not ministry, not programs. Not buildings. Okay? He's calling us to build a people. Amen. That's what he wants us to do. Glory to God. Okay? Now, when we talk about apprenticing, when we were beginning this, talking about apprenticing, this is where, you know, historically, when you start talking about an apprentice, this is when a person was legally bound to serve a master or a craftsman in order to learn a trade, okay? It opens the door for mantle exchanges. This is why we use, amen, the scripture, amen, the example of Elijah and Elisha. This opens the door for the spirit of transference and for the spirit of impartation, okay? So this is why it's important that we are able, amen, to be in apprenticing type relationships where somebody is going to work, amen, with us, not just going to sit in church and get fat and we start throwing up the word because we done ate so much word, Amen. But we get to a place where somebody is letting us work with them and is pushing us to start doing something other than sitting there. Okay? This means to be bound to an instructor for training. Just, you know, training is not forever. And I got to be honest, you know, we had a sister at our church some time ago, and she was my armor bearer for a while, you know, and then when I was, you know, the Lord began to deal with me, and, you know, and I told her, I said, you serve faithfully, I appreciate you, you worked hard, but the Lord has other for you now. There's another, you know, dimension of ministry for you now. And so I felt led to release her, you know, from armor bearing because she, you know, she needed to move on to other things. And she was really hurt over that. And she felt like, you know, that's what she was supposed to be here to do. But I'm here to tell you, you got to understand what your position is about. You got to understand what your position is about. Training does not last forever. God does not set you under a leader for you to sit in school forever. There must be a test. Then there's graduation, and then there comes the hands-on experience where you walk out what you have been trained to do. And because in our churches we have grown so accustomed to keeping people in training mode and not releasing them, when we release them, they can't handle it. They're like, what? What are you doing? I like where I am right here. Amen. And so we got to be ready for release. Amen. You cannot be in training forever. You should be beginning to walk out, you know, part of whatever God has spoken to you. You should not be an apprentice forever. Hallelujah. At some point, you should become the craftsman or the teacher yourself. Hallelujah. Okay? This will be evident in believers as well, with the older ones imparting to the younger spiritual insight and even knowledge and business expertise. Chapter 16, affluent and abundant. Abundance will be in the apostolic church. This is 2 Corinthians 8 and 7. And will abound in every aspect. Areas where abundance will be seen, just to name a few, are hope, faith, love, utterance, meaning we'll see the word of the Lord flowing, diligence, wisdom, judgment, and then we talk about, amen, that spirit, amen, where righteous judgment, adjudication is flowing in the apostolic church, gifts of the spirit, and finances. When we're talking about affluent, we're not just talking about just in money, amen, but it is a place of abundance in wealth and property or other material goods or spiritual wealth and spiritual weight. Okay, to be spiritually prosperous, to be abounding in anything, okay, being able to flow freely, a tributary stream, okay, and a tributary is, whenever you study, you know, bodies of water, a tributary is a stream of water that flows into a larger stream or other body of water. It flows from headwaters. That's where headwaters begin. Headwaters begin, amen, at God. God is the headwaters, okay? He flows out, amen, by his spirit into tributaries. We become those tributaries. Those tributaries flow out into greater bodies of water. Sea, amen, a sea of people. We should be beginning to position ourselves to flow into a sea, amen, which is a group of people, amen, a sea of people, an innumerable company of people. We don't know who God has called us to. We've seen part of the vision, but we don't know all of what God has called us to. So we need to begin to prepare ourselves, begin to be in that place where we are abounding, where we are flowing, not trickling, but flowing, not dripping. Drip, drop, here, there, you know, every now and again, but flowing in the things of God. How will abundance be manifested? Through manifold grace, many different forms of grace. The apostolic church understands how to activate and walk in this grace and will give excessively and receive excessively. And I believe that. Hallelujah. Okay? Chapter 17, which is our final chapter. Okay? It is added a flame and a fire. It's not a final chapter. We got one little piece left, which is chapter 18. The apostolic or prophetic church is determined to reach the lost for Christ and will be ablaze with Holy Ghost fire, with passion, with zeal and enthusiasm, with love, and with vision. My God, we need a vision. We already talked about that love. We talked about that love, and then that Paul was talking about. We need to have that kind of love. Okay? Acts, when you look at the early church, amen, we see that the church was aflame. Revelation chapter 2, Jesus exhibits apostolic prophetic mantles through walking through the seven churches, assessing where they were, what was going on with them, speaking and making declarations among them and concerning them. That is part of that apostolic mantle. That's the pattern. That's the righteous pattern that has been set for us. Okay? And finally, chapter 18, releasing the apostolic from prison. Okay? Prayer and acceptance of the full release of apostles and the apostolic spirit upon the church. This is what we want. We want to be released so that we can flow in the things of God. Okay? And we're talking about abounding. Okay? We're talking about something that is in a great amount. We want to be able to abound, to be fully supplied. Okay? We want to have full, we have fullness of supply of the things that we need in our spiritual arsenal. Okay? And in chapter 17, when we're talking about being ardent, that means it is characterized by warmth of feeling, by being passionate. It's strong enthusiasm and devotion. It's fervor. It's an intense emotion. Where is your intensity? Do you have an intensity for God? Do you have an intensity in your prayer life? Intensity in your worship? Hallelujah. These are things, amen, that we need to focus on when we start talking about what kind of church we are, amen, and are we really a part of what God is doing in the earth in these last days? Glory to God. Amen. We are going to conclude here. Amen. And what we're in on next week, we are going to continue. Amen. We're going to finish up. Amen. The next section, which is the spirit of Balaam. Amen. We're going to complete that. Amen. But first of all, I just want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now. Thank you for this teaching tonight. Thank you, God, for all that you've allowed us to receive. Thank you, Father, for just how you move. God, we thank you, Lord, for the spirit of healing, God, that flowed on tonight, God, even as the word went forth, oh God. I thank you, God, and I honor you, God, for all that you are doing in our midst. I thank you, Father, that you are raising us up, oh God, an apostolic people, God, to fulfill the commission that you have given unto us. God, help us, oh God, that we, Lord God, fulfill our call. God, that we would be intense in our worship, intense in our prayer. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just honor you and magnify you. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done and all that you have already said. Thank you that, Lord, we are transformed and we are changed by your love, oh God, that you have for us. Lord God, has changed us forever. And we thank you, God, and we honor you for it right now. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, I just want to end this